Brothers and sisters, on behalf of Father Conway, our parish's staffs, and myself, very, very happy Easter to all of you. It's a joy to be able to celebrate with you and to serve you, ultimately to serve you and leading you closer to our risen Lord. It's also very nice to see so many visitors, and so especially visitors with little ones. So please just know this is a place where the little ones are welcome, and any noise they make is today especially a great reminder of the life that we celebrate, Christ risen from the dead, the life that is shared with us, the life that is to be found in the church. So we're very, very glad to have you. We're always glad to have you. I got asked last night if we have the extraordinary form regularly, and we do. 8 a.m. each Sunday, then 6:30 p.m. on Mondays, and 5:30 p.m. on Wednesdays. So if you're a visitor, you are always welcome here to celebrate with us, and thank you for making time to be with us this morning. It is not an easy feast to prepare for, to preach at Easter, because there is so much that could be talked about. I've trimmed it down, don't worry, but to do that, I really had to fall back on what's at the deepest core of my experience of faith, which was the experience of fairy tales. So the first chapter book I ever read was The Chronicles of Narnia. It was The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe by C.S. Lewis. And C.S. Lewis wrote those books ultimately for his own goddaughter. And yes, I know I'm creeping close to my C.S. Lewis quota for, well, we'll count Lent as a different liturgical season, so I'm starting back at one. But by the time he finished writing a chunk of those stories, his goddaughter had grown past the age where kids really find fairy tales exciting to read. But he included with one of the books a note that says, "One day you will be old enough to read fairy tales again. One day you will be old enough to read fairy tales again." And he understood that there's growing up and there is growing up. So, have we grown up enough to read fairy tales again? Because it's here that I'll pivot a little bit to a different British author, J.R.R. Tolkien. Many of you are familiar with, who's a devout Catholic. And that did not come cheaply or easily. Not only was he a devout Catholic, but he was one who lived that faith with profound joy, with a profound sense of the power of liturgy, growing up, serving and experiencing Mass in the extraordinary form, as we call it now, and loving it. And the whole truth of Christianity, whole truth of his Catholic faith permeated down to his bones and came out in his writing. And anybody who's read The Lord of the Rings knows that these are stories of deep, deep hope that touch on that primal truth that fairy tales shout at us, which is that good overcomes evil. Our very cynical modern world tells us that, yeah, that's fine in fairy tales, but in the real world, it is not so. The world has grown up past those things. But it's good to remember that Tolkien didn't just idly write fairy tales from an ivory tower. Lost his father at an incredibly young age, and a number of priests took the mother, he and his sister, into the rectory where his mother served essentially as a housekeeper. By the time he was in his early 20s, he'd lost all but one of his childhood friends to World War I. He himself had served in the trenches of the Somme. He wasn't allowed for a while to marry the love of his life because she was a Protestant and he was a Catholic. She converted, and ultimately they were married. And then he watched the supposed end to the war to end all wars become World War II, triggered by petty evil dictators. And then he watched the church go through the Second Vatican Council watched church struggle to apply what was proclaimed and passed away before he really saw things settle back down. This is a man who saw very, very difficult, challenging things from the time he was very young and yet never gave up hope. And he would have said, because of his deep attachment to fairy tales, and not just to fairy tales in general, but to the fairy tale. If you know the story of C.S. Lewis's conversion, it's a long one, but one of the pivotal moments is when he expressed to J.R.R. Tolkien, his friend, it's like, well, yeah, the gospel is a beautiful story, but it's a lie. It's a lie breathed through silver, as he said. And they were both professors of literature. They knew the great myths, the fairy tales. And Tolkien asked Lewis a question. But what if this lie breathed through silver, this thing that you think is a myth, is actually myth made fact? What if every fairy tale is a preparation for the gospel? And every fairy tale that we hear now prepares our hearts to receive the fairy tale, the myth that is made fact, that is true, that is the resurrection of the Lord. Are we old enough to believe that? Or have we grown up too much to believe in such silly things? Easter is the opportunity to grow so old that the old man in us dies and we can become childlike again. Childlike enough to believe fairy tales, to believe the true fairy tale, that love is indeed stronger than death, that someone, that God himself has come to set us free from those forces that hold us captive. And we know those forces well, and they are so much upon us at times that they seem to be the only thing that's real. Whether we think of the work of the evil one, we think of evil in the world, or we think of the evil in ourselves, there is the real temptation in our supposed cynical maturity to define ourselves by those small things. We can understand in some way. We can get our head around evil because we see it and we do it. But today is a mystery that we can't get our head around. And that's what makes it so hard, what makes it seem so ephemeral when we say good triumphs over evil. There's some part of us that has a doubt or that goes, but when? I want it now. And so we're reminded the teachings of one of the church fathers that this is not a mystery that enters into us, but a mystery that we enter into. We must be small enough, childlike enough, to be able to enjoy fairy tales again. So what part of us needs to be restored to its youth? Is it the part of us that looks at the world and what's going wrong and trembles either with fear or with anger, wanting to fix things right here, right now, figure them out? Part of us that might be tempted to believe that Satan himself is more powerful than Jesus? Is it the part of us that's convinced that we will never be free of our own sinfulness? Where do we need to enter into this fairy tale again? Where do we need myth to meet myth made fact? Because today is the source of that truth. It's the source of our eternal youthfulness. So as we draw close to Jesus, to receive him in the Eucharist, he makes himself humble enough, small enough, to enter our hearts. But like the tomb, to burst them open, so that nothing is the same. So as we receive him, invite him in to those places where doubt, where shadows, where grown-upness and cynicism still linger, so that we can experience the new life unleashed from the tomb on this day, unleashed within our hearts to make us young, to make us mature and wise, old enough in the right way to enjoy fairy tales again.